take the word of the Lord and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 15. And here we have, right between Paul's first missionary journey and the second missionary journey, that starts in verse 36, so chapter 15, verses 1 through 35, we have the council that was held at Jerusalem and what happened from there. So Acts chapter 15, we will begin in verse 1. We'll read through verse 35. And noting, just for a point of fact, verse 34, I will not read verse 34, for it does not seem to be in any of the Greek manuscripts. It seems to be just a summary that someone added in later. And because of verse 40, Silas was found to still be in Antioch, and so they said they added it in there. But it doesn't change the meaning anywhere. It doesn't add any facts. It doesn't take away any facts. So we're not losing anything. But it is not in the original, and so we will not read it. So Acts 15, 1 through 35. This is God's holy and inerrant, infallible word. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. When Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the same way as they are also." All the people kept silent. And they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from a long ago.' Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath." Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas leading men among the brethren. And they sent this letter by them: "The apostles and the brethren who are elders by the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, of whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. After they had spent time there, they were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. And that is God's word to us this morning. So Paul and Barnabas have gone on their first missionary journey. They have come back to Antioch. That was at the end of chapter 14. They have therefore returned, and the disciples are hearing about all that God has done through them, through the lives of Jews and even the Gentiles, turning them from their sin unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, making for himself one people, one temple, one building of God. And so the bounds of the church are increased and are continuing in that northern Mediterranean area where they had their first missionary journey. And so Paul and Barnabas in Antioch, and there are some who came there of the Jews, and they were teaching what we find in verse 1. Unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And so Paul and Barnabas began arguing with these Jews and rebuking them, and there was a great debate about how someone is saved. And so they sent representatives to Jerusalem to go to the apostles and the elders. Those meeting were representatives from all the churches. The elders come together. They meet in what we would call a general assembly, a synod, a council. And so we see the true purpose of such meetings, where elders of all the churches come, is for the purpose of seeking wisdom about the truth of God's word and how to implement that word. And the same debate arose among the elders when they got there. The Pharisees came along and they said they had to be circumcised, telling them that the gift of the Holy Spirit among the Gentiles, Peter rose and said that salvation is not by works, but by grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Paul and Barnabas related to them their experience and their preaching and discipling both Jews and Gentiles in their first missionary journey. And then James also arose, and he spoke, and he called the brothers to a conclusion that the Gentiles are saved in the same way as the Jews, by faith, and focuses their attention rather on encouraging these Gentiles in their sanctification, that they ought to stop doing many of the things the Gentiles would be doing in those days. If you go to the book of Corinthians, you can see many of these things, what they were doing. And so they call the brothers to stop partaking in things that are unholy, or that could lead them to be unholy. And this conclusion that James draws is agreed upon by the assembly, by the elders and the apostles. Some men, including Paul and Barnabas, are chosen to take this decision of the assembly to the churches. They didn't have email, internet in those days. They sent people, and the letter that they sent with them is found in verses 23 to 29. We've read that letter. Verse 1 says that there were some Jews who began teaching, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. Today, beloved, we might say, and there are people who say such things, unless you are baptized, you cannot be saved. And we can take it further than that. Unless you wear certain clothes, unless you stop smoking, unless you do all these different things, any things that you come up with, Unless you do certain things, you cannot be saved. And that was the question before these apostles and these elders. And they decided, being guided by the Lord, what was true according to the Scriptures. And that is that the works-based gospel cannot save you. If it is anything in you that is the determining factor of whether you are saved or whether you're not saved, if it's based in you, then you will not be saved. You could not be saved. You will be damned. And the truth is, they confess that only by Jesus' works can one be saved. Only by faith in Jesus can one be saved. And that is the gospel proclaimed to you. You must believe in faith in Jesus and what He's done to be saved. And that is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank You for this decision of the church that You brought the church to early on in Your Word, which is the truth, because we see it here in the Scriptures. That this struggle that continues even into our day in the world and even in aspects of the church and in cults and different religions, all the different religions, all the different cults say the same thing. To be saved, to get to heaven, to get to whatever it is they're trying to get to, you must do something. And so, Father, we thank You for the clear gospel message that we have here and discerned by the apostles and elders, even given to us today, that it is not what we do by which we can be saved. It is what Jesus has done and does, even still now, in changing hearts and sending His Spirit and by Your Word. It is by the gift of faith that one can be saved. So, Father, we do praise You and thank You for this clear message of the gospel, that it is not in us that we can be saved, but it is only in You and Your electing purposes and Your providence and Your electing love and Your sacrificial love through Your Son giving Him for us and Him giving Himself to You for us. And we know now that He has risen from the dead to grant to Your people who believe life forever. And yet, Father, we ask that You would be working in us by Your Spirit to put to death these unholy things that still remain. As these Gentiles who continually were in fornication and meat sacrifice to idols and all these other things that were leading them astray, we ask that You would put to death those unholy things that continue to lead us astray. Entertainment and pleasure from the world, money and possessions, and many, many other things. Lord, put all those things to death within us. The things that are unholy, we ask that You would put on holiness, to work in us holiness, that we would clothe ourselves with righteousness in Christ, and not in ourselves. Our Father, we ask that You would be glorified through our lives, that You would receive glory through how You work in our lives, that You would continue to show mercy where we fall, even as this day we have fallen. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Turn us from our sin, and turn us unto the Savior. To the One who accepts us, to the One who is our mediator and our advocate before You, the Father, constantly and continually interceding for us. Father, we do give You all praise. Lord, let our gratitude be multiplied greatly and our thankfulness multiplied exponentially. For You have done marvelous things for us, Your people. And so hear our prayers. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.